Yeah, you can be seated. Come on, who's grateful for the amazing grace of Jesus? Oh, so faithful, so good. Well, you know, I'm so grateful to hear some of the amazing testimonies that came out of the Pink Impact Women's Conference this week. For those of you that were able to make it, I know it's a busy season, and all of us have a lot going on, but just so grateful to hear what the Lord did in the lives of many of the women. And I just feel like it was planned by a woman to have Pink Impact right before Mother's Day, so that men like myself and Eli would be more grateful today for the moms that were gone on Friday and Saturday than we ever would have been had they not been gone on Friday and on Saturday. So, I have a new appreciation for Elisa, Pastor Eli's wife, as well. There is a lot of testosterone in that house, you know. Eli and four boys. And so just super grateful for our women and for the moms. And you know, I just want to establish some things that you'll hear maybe several times today. And as long as I'm involved in serving in this place, Mother's Day will always be about women. Not just those of you who have birthed children in the physical sense, but there's a special place in our heart towards every woman that's here. And there's a call upon those of you who have physical children and upon those of you who maybe didn't for whatever reason, whether there were challenges or just decisions that you made in life, there's a call and an opportunity to be spiritual moms. And to help us to disciple the next generation to know their God and to know Christ Jesus. And so today is an amazing day. It's a celebration of life. It's a celebration of moms and of all of you women. And you are, each of us, men and women, are in for a really, really, really special treat this morning. I'm standing here this morning with the privilege and honor of introducing my wife, Amity. And she's my wife. She's your pastor's wife. She's a mom. She leads and serves in our women's ministry so well. How many of you that have been connected to anything in our women's ministry in the last year and a half have just been blessed by her heart and her spirit? And can I just tell you, she's passionate about Jesus. She's so passionate about Jesus, and she's so passionate about you as our church family, and especially you ladies, to really see you discover what it means to live fully alive in Christ and shining brightly in his purposes for your life. And so, you know, this is not something actually that we planned. It's something that the Holy Spirit just woke Amity up last week, and she came to me and she said, the Lord put a word on my heart, and he's challenged me to have faith to share it on Mother's Day weekend. And I knew she had Pink Impact and all that would entail, the planning and the preparation and all the time that it would take on Friday and Saturday. But she just said, I really feel like the Lord's put it on my heart, and he's challenged me to share it and release it to bring encouragement to the women and the men of our church on Mother's Day morning. And as she began to share and kind of unpack some of the things that the Lord had given her in the night, she began to just weep under the anointing of God. And I began to sense that there was a divine appointment for today, for God to speak some things into our life and for God to bring some freedom in some areas in our life and for God to shift some things in our life, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a mom or not this morning. And so would you join me today with just with faith in your hearts to receive and just honor towards her as your pastor's wife and welcoming Amity Humphreys to the stage this morning. Just put your hands together for her, would you? Thank you.
Good morning. Oh, good. I didn't mess the mic up with all my jumping around during worship. My goodness. The sound booth was like, as long as you don't start headbanging, you'll be fine. And then worship happened, and I was like, woo, Jesus! So, well, welcome. I am so honored to be here with you this morning. What an amazing morning that it's already been. The presence of God is just already here. I'm excited for you, and happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. I hope that you feel extra special and valued and loved. Today, I have to share a quick story. Because it's Mother's Day, we have to have a funny mom story, right? We have three children, 10, 7, and 3. And last year, our youngest, Ava, who's 3, she'll be 4 in a couple of months, she did something, and it was one of those, quote, mom moments in my life. There have been many. And she did something that I had to share with you because it's one of the things that we talk about a lot that's just so funny. And so she was 2 years old at the time. And anyone here have had a 2-year-old, you'll just get a kick out of this, I'm sure. So I don't even remember remember what day of the week it was. I don't remember what I was doing. I don't remember anything other than just what happened. And I do remember that there was a moment, and it was the middle of the day, and Ava, who's two, was home, and the house was silent. Okay, there you go. Now the moms are starting to catch me. There's a two-year-old, and the house is silent. Something's wrong. Come on, work with me here. So, you know, when you have a two-year-old and the house is quiet, what do? Like you find her because, oh, good Lord, what is happening right now? So I stopped what I was doing, and I walked around, and I looked in her room, and she wasn't in her room. And I was like, oh, goodness, where was she? She was in there a minute ago. So then I went into our bathroom, and I saw my daughter standing in our bathroom with just this look of utter shame, just this puppy dog, big eye look. And next to my daughter was this pile of hair, her hair, and you'll see, I sent a picture. My daughter decided, can you see? Yeah. So she rocked a mohawk. I'm sorry, not a mohawk. She rocked a mullet for 6 weeks. And, you know, it's funny, with three kids, if it had happened with our first, you know, I probably would have just broken out into tears and sobbed and just been like, I'm the worst mom ever. And then with our second, I just probably would have yelled because, you know, you're learning patience when you have two. But with the third one, you know, all you do is just take a picture and you post it on social media. So, you know. Anyway, so happy Mother's Day. Just, you know, thought I'd share that funny story. You know, but in a more serious note, Pastor Tom, is it me? Is it my hair? Sorry. On another note, I just want to share with you something and echo what Pastor Thomas was saying and Elisa. And throughout the service, you know, God's just put it on my heart this week. And obviously put on the heart of our leaders here. The prayer team actually approached Pastor Thomas this morning before service and just also spoke that this was something that God put on their heart. And so to me, when I know that God's spoken something to me, he's spoken something to Pastor Thomas, Elisa, prayer team, it's on his heart. And that's for those of you here today that are maybe here, and Mother's Day is not one of those days that is a day of celebration to you. It's maybe a day that is one of the hardest days of the year for you. And I just want to encourage you that you're on God's heart this morning. Whether you have struggled with loss, whether you've struggled with grief, brokenness, whether it's a relationship that's broken with a child or a mother, I just want to say to you, I am so proud of you for being here today. I am so proud of you for coming here today. And what I know about God and about our Father is that he is faithful. And what I felt like he wanted me to share with you today, and I don't know who I'm speaking with, but in a room this large, I know there's probably at least one person that can relate. I just felt like he wanted me to share with you that he's not done writing your story. He's not done writing your story. You may have been stuck in a very painful chapter of your life. You may still feel like you're in a very painful chapter of your life, but he wants me to tell you today that he's not done writing your story and that he's faithful. So I'm so proud of you for being here today. I'm going to switch mics real quick. Yeah, we're good. I think I'm just going to do this. I love technology.
I love technology.
Any Napoleon Dynamite fans? But before we get started, I just want to pray over our time. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray? Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here in this place right now, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you would anoint my lips to speak only what you would have me speak, and that our hearts would be open and receptive to hear what you want us to hear in this moment. We love you so much. We welcome your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm excited for you today. I believe that God has a special word that he's put on my heart that I just want to encourage you with today. Before we get too far into it, I do just want to give a shout out to my Pink Impact girls. I had so much fun with you this weekend. If you went to Pink Impact, let me hear from you real quick. Come on. Yes. We had such a good time, and if you were curious about who went to Pink Impact, just look around the room and find the chick that looks like she wants to, you know, go charge hell with the water gun. That's the girl that went to Pink Impact. It was awesome. We got filled up. We got healed. We got set free. And I tell you what, it was just so much fun. So thank you to all those who served during that event for all you did. It was an amazing time, and there was just so many hands that were involved in that process, and they just are amazing. So thank you to all those that served and volunteered. You are rock stars. If you can just turn in your Bibles to Luke 10:38, we're going to visit a passage of Scripture that we're very familiar with. Especially as women and as wives and guys, please don't check out on me. I will be using a lot of mom analogies and women stuff just because, you know, I'm a girl and you get a guy 51 weeks out of the year. So we listen to fishing stuff and football and manly analogies and, you know, you just might get pink polka dots and all kinds of fun stuff. So Luke 10:38, let's read together. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." This is a story that we're really familiar with, and I found some really interesting pictures to represent this story. I wanted just to show you. I had this story engraved in my mind just as a kid reading those Bible picture books. And so I have a couple of pictures that I wanted to show you, just kind of your typical Mary and Martha. Can you see? You know, there's Jesus, and Mary's just, you know, serenely sitting on the floor, and Martha, oh, this is something I don't understand. Can you see those, like, sweat drops coming out of Martha's head? Can you see those? They're just like, what is that? Have you ever felt like that's happened to you? She's sweeping, you know, she's busy. Then there's another picture I'll show you here. There's, you know, there's Mary right here, and there's Jesus. Jesus has something going on with his beard. I don't understand that. And then there's Martha, and now she's got tornadoes coming out of her head. Again, sweeping. What's with Martha sweeping? Watch me sweep. Watch me go cray cray. Sorry. Pastor Thomas is already like, oh, take the mic from her. So again, you know, frazzled. What are adjectives that you see that describe Martha? Crazy, stressed, flustered. Yeah, come on. She looks like such a grouch. I don't want to be like Martha. Do you want to be like Martha? No. This next picture is my absolute favorite, though. Again, you know, you got the sweat beads coming out of her head, and she just looks angry. She's like, "Oh, I'm making a cake, and you do not appreciate me." This look that Jesus and Mary have, I've seen that look from my children. That's the exact same look that I get from my kids when I say every single night, "You have to take a bath." Every single night. Does anyone else say that to their children, and it just comes as this shock to you, like, "Why do I bathe? What is this thing you call a shower?" It's like, oh my goodness. So, you know, it's funny, right? But some really stereotypical pictures of Mary and Martha. But I really want to just point out a few things that stuck out to me as I studied this scripture and as the Lord just kind of shifted my heart on a few things. In verse 38, it says, Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. I never read that like that before. Martha's home. Notice it doesn't even say Mary's. It's Martha's home. And she welcomed him in. Martha had a desire to host the presence of Jesus. Can you just put yourself there? Just take yourself there in your imagination and just think about Jesus and his disciples passing through. Can you see it? You know that with Jesus came multitudes and multitudes of people, because just a couple chapters ago, he fed the 5,000, and verses just leading up to this scripture talks about wherever Jesus went, there were multitudes. So it's like I can just see Jesus and his disciples walking past, and it's almost like I can imagine Martha just rushing to the door, and Jesus, come into my home. It's not that big. It's not that prepared for you, but I want to serve you. I want you to come into my home. I want to cook a meal for you. Come, let me wash your feet and get the dust off of your day's travels. Let me just serve you. Come, Jesus, take a break. Come into my home. She welcomed him into her home. She wanted to serve Jesus. She wanted the presence of Jesus in her home. This chapter and this passage of scripture doesn't give a lot of detail. But can I submit something to you? Can I submit that Martha initiated the presence of Jesus? That he might have just been planning on passing through. But she took a step and she reached out and she welcomed him in. The second thing that I noticed is in verse 40, it said, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Hashtag Thanksgiving Day. Right? Come on. We've all been to grandma's house or mom's house, and we've seen the hustle and bustle of getting ready for a big meal, and there's always that matriarch of the family, that mom or that grandma that's just cooking and getting everything ready, and you know, she's the last person to sit down. It's a big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and she said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. I noticed it wasn't until Martha's attitude shifted from a place of serving and welcoming and inviting the presence of Jesus to being frustrated and complaining and comparing. Jesus didn't rebuke her until that happened. Something just switched with Martha. Something just changed from going into that welcoming to getting caught up with all the work and all the stuff and all the life that comes with hosting. And she just fell into this weakness that, come on, girls, we all have it. We get busy. We get tired. We get stressed out. There is a never-ending list of things to do. How easy is it to fall into that? Frustrated, stressed, sweat beads popping out of your head state. And that's when Jesus stepped in and he corrected her on that one thing that we just get a snapshot of. I feel so bad for Martha sometimes, because I feel like we just have just a snapshot in our minds of like her worst moment. We just have 2,000 years go by and we think of Mary and Martha, we just think of that frump. What if we changed our minds for a moment and we thought about it just a little differently? What if Martha really was a strong, beautiful woman? What if she wasn't a frump? What if she had such a gift of serving and honoring and hosting? But Jesus just called her out on the one thing that needed to switch at that time. She started out well. She got distracted and she got frustrated and she just began to compare Mary's role to hers. Let me tell you, girls, I know, and guys, sorry, see, I've been around girls all weekend. I'm already just talking to the girls. Guys, this applies to you too. Come on. Comparison. Oh, it's one of those things that we struggle with so much. I read a quote that was really neat that stuck out to me. It said, one reason we struggle with insecurity is because we compare our behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reel. We compare our behind the scenes to everybody else's highlight reel. Like, this is my highlight reel. Sunday morning. But what y'all are not going to see is me going home in about an hour and a half, and the heels get kicked off, the sweatpants come up, and the hair goes in a messy bun. That's my life. I've got 3 kids. Come on. We get stuck in this comparison mode, and we get stuck in the only seeing that perfect Instagram picture, or only seeing their children behaving so much better than ours, or only seeing their marriage that just never seems to have any issues, or only seeing that they just must have all their finances in order because they never seem to. Comparison is just the thief of our joy. Mary and Martha were different. They had different strengths. They had different weaknesses. They were sisters, but they were so, so different. And Romans 12:6 talks about the body of Christ being so different, so diverse, so beautiful. I love the way the Message words Romans 12:6. It says, "So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we aren't. We're a body. Think about a body. There's so many different parts. There's feet and there's legs and there's arms and there's hands and there's eyes and there's ears. There's armpits. I'm just kidding. Not here. Not y'all. Y'all are awesome. We're a body. We're different. We have different strengths. We have different weaknesses. Church, let me tell you, I struggled so long with something that was just a weight around my neck. And it was a comparison issue. Because I got married at a really young age. Thomas and I were married when I was 17 years old. We've been in ministry together for 13 years. You do the math. And I stepped into something at a young age. I was ready. God really prepared me at an early age. But I was still growing and I was still maturing in him. But there was something that absolutely terrified me and was just a chain around my neck for several years early on in our marriage. And that was the realization of knowing that one day I was going to be a pastor's wife. When we married, he was a worship pastor, and you know, I was technically a pastor's wife, but there was something in my mind about the big, big, you know, pastor title that was just really scary to me, because I knew that one day that was the anointing on my husband's life, because that's just who he's called to be. And by the way, to chase a rabbit trail, but a real important one, can I just tell you that as nothing else but a wife, not as a pastor's wife, not as a staff person, not as anybody else but a woman and a wife, you have a good man in your pastor. You have a good man in your pastor. He loves you so much, and he holds you in his heart, and he cares about you more than you'll ever know. I knew that he was going to be a pastor one day, and I knew with what that meant was going to be, I was going to be the pastor's wife. And that absolutely terrified me. It absolutely terrified me because in my heart, I felt like there was absolutely no way that I would ever measure up to that impossible standard that I thought that meant. No way. The ladies that I had seen in my life, pastor's wives, amazing women, beautiful women. But I just felt like, you know, there was them. And then there was like Amity, like the, you know, that was in my heart, you know, and that's awful, I know, but that was my heart. Was just, there was these beautiful women of wisdom and just perfection and always had the right thing to, you know, knew what to say and knew what to do and, you know, never yelled at their children and never was impatient with, I mean, comparison. It's a thief of your joy. And what Romans 12:6 is talking about, not to get caught up in that, and trying to be something that we aren't. See, I got set free when I sat down with one of my mentors and I just told her about this anguish and this turmoil when I started realizing that season of life that we were about to step into together as a husband and wife, of him stepping into the calling of being a pastor, which made me a pastor's wife at that time, I was terrified. And I told my mentor, I don't know that I can do it. I don't think I have what it takes. I just don't. And I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, "Amity, everything that you are is enough. Every weakness, every strength, every personality quirk, whatever it is that you feel like isn't enough, God's placed in you. Because you're the only person in the entire world that can do what God's calling you to do. And each and every one of you are the same. Each and every one of you have the same mandate. Each of every one of that applies to each and every one of you. You are the only person in this entire world that can do what God's called you to do. You're the only one. God has a gift. God has a destiny. God has an anointing. God has a calling for each and every one of us. And if we grasp onto what that is and we start taking steps of obedience and steps of faith, and we don't get caught looking to the right or to the left, and well, maybe I should come over here and do what she's doing because, you know, that looks really, really good. Or maybe, you know, he's got it down right, so maybe I should come over here and do it the way he's doing it. Instead of getting caught up with that, we get so focused on, here I am, Lord. You've created me like this. You've given me these talents and these gifts and abilities. Now how can I use them to serve you? We're a body. Martha and Mary, they were so different. They had different strengths and different weaknesses. And Jesus stepped out in that moment where she got frustrated and stressed out with her sister, and he called her out on that one thing that she needed to change. No matter who we are, no matter what we're called to be, we have to stay connected with Jesus in order to be the best version of ourselves. I think that story started out and we really got an amazing glimpse of who Martha was. Selfless, servant. But then as she continued and she got caught up and she didn't stay connected to the presence of Jesus in her room, she started falling into those weaknesses that we all have: stress, worry, fear, comparison, anxiety. If Martha would have just taken a step back when she was mixing that cake and she leaned against the wall, maybe when she was starting to feel a little pressure, a little frustration, you know, there's a cake to be made, but I'm just going to take a minute and I'm just going to lean against the wall and I'm going to listen to Jesus because he's in this room and he has a word for me and he can encourage me. She was separating her work from the presence of Jesus. We have to stay connected to him. That's the only way that we can be the absolute best version of who we're called to be, each and every one of us. I want to tell you a story about something that happened on our trip recently. And we took a trip just a few weeks ago. We took our kids down to Florida, and it was our first Disney trip. We'd never been before. And Thomas and I both, you know, we were deprived as children and never got to go to Disney World. So I got freedom ministry. I'm better now. We planned this trip. And when we went, I found out very, very quickly that when you're planning a trip to Disney, there's so much that comes with the planning. And so if any of you have ever done this, you know how many like hours you can read and blogs about how to have the most prepared and effective. Anybody done that where you've just, I mean, you pour into blogs and you pour into this. And really when you're taking any type of a family trip, sometimes you just get caught up in how to just make it, you know, the best it can be. And one thing that I read when I was doing all this research on, you know, having a good trip and having an effective trip was making sure that you have a portable charger, because when you are there, you take, you know, 18,000 pictures because you don't want to miss a moment. And I read that it's so important to have an extra battery charger for your cell phone. So I went and I bought this little daddy the other day before we went on our trip, and it's just a little portable charger. And what it does is you plug it in using a connecting device that's probably fallen out of my Bible somewhere. There's a cord that connects to this. And you plug it in the wall and you charge it up so that this is an extra battery for when your phone dies. Y'all are looking at me like, yeah, Amity, those have been around forever. I know, I didn't know, okay? I told the staff about it, and they just looked at me like I had, you know, sweat beads coming out of my head, because they're like, yeah, Amity, those are from, like, forever ago. But it was new to me, so I went and got one, okay? So I went, and I got this, and this was one of my number one priorities on the trip, was charging this thing. Every single night before we went to a park, this is what I would do. I would plug it into the wall, and I'd make sure it's charged, because I didn't want to miss a moment. I didn't want to not have the best time that I could have. I wanted advantage of everything that day had to offer, and I knew that what it meant was making sure you had a phone charge. If you got lost, you pulled that app up and you were able to find out where you were. If you lost a child or, you know, a husband or whatever, you know, you get your... That didn't happen. I scheduled time in my day when I realized that my phone battery was about at, 20%. I scheduled time in my day to put my phone away and charge it in my backpack with this thing. I didn't wait till it was at 1%. Are you with me? So we had a great time. We had a great time. We had lots of memories we were able to capture. My phone never ran out of charge because of that awesome little device. But then something happened the day before we left. We had planned a rest day before we flew home, and the day was just supposed to be a time where we could just relax, go by the pool, take naps, pack, and before we flew out early the next morning. And so that morning, we packed a pool bag, and we went out to the we went down the road, and it was kind of a little ways away, and we parked, and we were the only people at this particular pool, and it was just Thomas and I and our three kids. There was nobody else there. And we walked in, and we kind of settled everything down, and about 10 minutes into it, I realized there was no towels at the pool. There was a place where there could be towels, but there weren't. And so Thomas said, honey, I'll go and get some towels. I'll get in the van and drive down the road to the clubhouse, and I'll get some towels for the family. You just stay here and watch the kids. So sure, no worries, no big deal. So he left. 15 minutes went by, no big deal. 30 minutes went by. It's like, okay, it's taking a little longer than I thought. 45 minutes went by. And I thought, I need to just check, make sure he's okay. It's just down the road. What's going on? And I pulled my phone out from the pool bag, and I pushed that home button, and my phone had died. And I thought, oh, I've got my charger. I remember. I think there was even a charge left from yesterday because I didn't use it that much. I have it. It's my bag. So I reached in there and I dug it out, and I'm all like, oh, I'm so organized, And I realized I'd forgotten something that morning. Just, we weren't planning on much of a day. I wasn't really planning on my phone battery dying. I had forgotten the cord that connects the charger to my phone. So I had this device, I had this source of power that could charge my phone. It was right here in my hands, but I had the dadgum cord in the hotel room. And I had no way of charging my phone. And I just thought, oh, this is so frustrating. It's the only time in this entire trip that I actually needed this thing. And I forgot the cord. Church, how many times do we do that in our life? How many times are things just going okay? Life's going, all right. There's nothing, real crazy happening. And, we're doing well. And we start thinking, I've got my schedule down. And I've got, this and that. And, I can do this. This thing called life is, starting to be okay. But something happens. There's a crisis, a health report that is just shocking. There's a relational breakdown that is just absolutely devastating to you. There's something that happens that you were just totally unprepared for, and you're scrambling at the last minute. You're just trying to connect to that source. When really, God had called us to constantly stay connected to Him. Constantly stay fueled up. Constantly be charged. The only way to be the absolute best version of yourself is to be connected to the Father. To stay connected. You remember when the Israelites were in the desert and He sent the manna? Do you remember that story? Every morning they'd send manna, and they would go and they'd scoop up the manna, and they would have provision for their day. They had what they needed to sustain them for that day. And what would happen to the Israelites if they hoarded that manna for the next day? Do you remember? It would rot. It would get maggots in it. It was gross. How many times do we try to live on a charge from yesterday? How many times do we try to live from last week's sermon? We try to just make it stretch us out all week. Or from a women's conference where we get fired up and we're like, yes, we're going to charge hell with the water gun and we're going to just kick the devil in the teeth. And but we don't stay connected to that source each and every day. And where do we find ourselves? We find ourselves in that moment of weakness. We find ourselves stressed or frustrated or afraid. If you could just bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. I just want to pray over you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're hearing this and there's just a tug on your heart to reconnect to your Father. Maybe you've never really truly connected in this way. Maybe this life that I'm talking about, and maybe this the songs that we sing and this tug that you're feeling, maybe this is the first time you're feeling that call to connect with your Father for the first time, or maybe reconnect in a deeper way. I believe God wants to connect with you today. I believe there's several of us here, especially women, especially ladies, where we really have related to Martha, and we struggle, and we just feel like we strive. And even Mother's Day comes around and we open up those cards and we read those flowery writings and we just think, ugh, I am not that great of a mom. I am not that great of a woman. I'm not that great of a wife. And we're realizing today it's because we're just trying to do it on our own. And sister, let me tell you, you connect to your Father. You just take a moment. And you start drawing from Him. You start drawing that encouragement. You start drawing that life from Him. And watch and see. Watch and see how He gives you strength to do those things that you're called to do. I want to also just take a moment and I want to pray over anyone that's in here with a very heavy heart. You're on God's heart this morning. I told you earlier, He's been talking about you to a lot of different people because He sees you. He loves you. He cares so much about you. That pain, that loss, that hurt, that brokenness, He sees it. And He wants to reach in. He wants to connect with you so strongly and fill you and start speaking life and promises and freedom and joy and hope over you today in Jesus' name. So Father, right now, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you that you speak. You know our story. You know our heart, each and every one of us, God. And you so desire to connect to us in a new way. Father, I ask that hearts right now would be open and receptive to you. I pray, Father, that we would leave here with a desire to connect with you in a new way, that we would know that we know that we know that you love us and that you have a desire to walk each and every day with us. I just pray for hearts, Lord, that are tender and fragile before you, God. I pray that they would just feel your arms wrap around them this morning. They would feel your love and just encounter your love in a new way. Thank you for speaking, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. John chapter 15 and verse 11. Jesus says, these things I'm telling you so that your joy may be made full. How many of you could use the joy of God in your life? And then you back up and you look at some of the things that he said with a heart to bring joy to our lives. And in verse 4, he says, remain in me. Another translation says, abide in me. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branch. those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And I just believe that whatever it is that's caused you to be disconnected from the source of life, the source of joy, the source of strength, today God wants to come and he just wants to divinely just reconnect you this morning to who he is so that you can begin to become who you are in him. And part of what we want to do this morning to help you to feel that, the love of God, the heart of the Father for you, every woman in this place, we want to honor you. You know, honoring our fathers and our mothers, whether they're spiritual or natural, is important to the heart of God. It's the first commandment with the promise according to Ephesians chapter 6. And it's so important to the heart of God. Think about it this way. It made God's top 10 list of commandments to honor our father and to honor our mother. But this morning we believe, like we've mentioned multiple times, Mother's Day is about women. Mother's Day is about the role that you play in our lives as your children, as your brothers in the Lord. And so we have a heart to honor you and recognize every one of you this morning. And so I want to do this. I want to ask the gentlemen, the people that are involved in preparing to deliver the gift that we have for every woman to just begin to get into position and prepare to deliver. We have a flower for you today that is just a token. It's such a small token of our appreciation, of our love for you, of our belief in you as a woman of God, as a sister in the Lord, as a mom to your natural kids, as a spiritual mom to your spiritual kids. And so I want to ask you, if you're in this place today and you are a woman, would you stand to your feet? And as the women stand, can I ask the men in the room to just begin to give them a round of applause as a sign of appreciation to them? We're so grateful for you. We're so thankful for you. Thank you, Jesus, for these precious women, blessings, treasures. Proverbs 31 describes an industrious and amazing woman, and I believe that there's an anointing upon each of you to become a Proverbs 31 woman by the presence of God and the Spirit of God, by staying connected to the presence of God. And it says, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Well, let me just encourage you with something this morning. This is a room full of beautiful women, inside and out. And would you receive this morning? Again, it's just a small token. It seems so trivial, but just receive it this morning, and may the substance of our appreciation and our gratitude towards you this morning be so much more significant in your hearts than just the weight of this rose in your hand. We're so grateful to you. Thank you for being a gift of God to us as a church, to us as your husbands, towards us as your brothers in the Lord, towards us as your children. We honor you this morning. We honor you. Thank you, gentlemen, for serving well and helping us to get these flowers in every woman's hand. I want to pray over you this morning. And if you are yet to receive a rose, would you just help us out? Just lift your hand high in the sky here. Gary Hammers, he's tall. He'll see you here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We're just so thankful for you. Would you allow me to pray a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer of blessing over you, men, wherever you are there? Would you just join with me and just partner with me in faith and appreciation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so thankful and grateful for these precious women, our moms, our sisters, our friends in Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you desire to just abide in them and in you, Lord. You desire to love on them as your daughters. You desire to fill them with your spirit. You desire to cover them with your mercy and your grace. You desire, Lord, to strengthen them with your presence for every good work, Lord, that you've called them to, God, because we know that being a woman and being a mom and being a wife, there are many tasks and many things to be about, God. But I pray that you would this morning have done a deep work in the heart of every woman, that they would know, Lord, that in the midst of the work, in the midst of the responsibilities, in the midst of going about their day, Lord, whether they work or whether they keep a home, Lord, whatever it is you've called them to do, Lord, that you would help them to know in a deep way that you desire to be connected to them You desire to be their source. You desire to be their strength. You desire to be their joy. You desire to be their peace. You desire to be their wisdom, God. You desire to give them discernment. You desire, Lord, to equip them to do and be everything you've called, Lord, them to do and to be as women. And thank you, Lord, that you grace us to do what you've called us to do, Lord. Any woman here this morning who feels overwhelmed, who feels discouraged, God, would you this morning, by your grace and by your love, Lord, come and bring life and encouragement and strength to them, God. And would they sense in a fresh way or a new way or a deeper way the appreciation and the love that we have for them in every role that they play in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus and all God's precious people said, amen. Come on, men, would you stand up with us this morning? And as you stand, just put your hands together for the women this morning in our lives. And worship team, would you close us this morning with a song of praise and a song of joy? And Pastor Eli will come and dismiss us here in a moment.